today, and while I hope that you've enjoyed this, hope that it's changed some things for you, and kind of a signature verse that we've used for this series every week is 2 Corinthians 10:5, and if you don't know this verse, it'd be a good verse to memorize. It says this: we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive, everybody say, every thought, to make it obedient to Christ. And so in this series, Mind Monsters, we're talking about our thoughts. We're talking about the monsters that come in our mind of fear, guilt, negativity, cynicism, all that stuff that doesn't belong there. We got to take captive over. We got to take control of our thoughts. And if you missed last week, I think we're going to have that podcast up here pretty soon. And so pay attention to that. But if you missed last week, it'd be worth listening to. And what I want to talk today about is renewing our mind, taking control of our mind. And God is willing to fight with us in this battle, because that's what it is. It's a battle to keep control of our mind and to keep control of our thoughts. And God's willing to help us, but we have to give him something to work with. We have to be willing, and we have to be cooperative to what he wants to do in our life. And in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says this: no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. In other words, the worst thought you've ever had, don't beat yourself up over it. That's just part of being a sinful human being, is that every once in a while you're going to have a thought that comes through here, and what we have to do is let it go out here and not let it stay there. So he says, there's no temptation that's common to man. And he says, God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. In other words, we can't blame God whenever we get tempted. We can't blame God for the thought that came in our mind. He's going to help us. But here's what we have to do. With the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. In other words, we have to take the escape route. We can't stay there. God's going to open a door to let that thought out. And what we have to do is let that thought go out the door. And God will always help you to replace a negative or a sinful thought with a healthy thought. You just have to practice it. And so we have to cooperate with what God wants to do in our life. And this is very important. You have to take responsibility for your mind. You have to take ownership of your mind. If you just release ownership, and whatever you hear, you're going to let it stay there. Whatever you see, you're going to let it stay. Whatever comes to mind, it's just going to kind of linger there. If you let that happen, your life is going to get messed up really quickly, because every temptation starts right here. Every sinful thing that happens in our life starts right here. It just doesn't come out of nowhere. It starts in our mind, and so we have to take ownership of our thoughts. And Romans 12:2, another good verse to know, says this: do not be conformed to this world. Let's just stop there for a second. You know what that means, to be conformed to this world? Is that as you're walking around, as you're out in public, on your job, as you're, you know, encountering media or whatever, there's going to be things of this world, in case your head is buried in sand somewhere, there's things in this world that are sinful and negative and not pleasing to God. All you have to do is turn on your TV for about 30 seconds, right? And there's going to be something negative, something sinful, something tempting come across the screen. And so you cannot be conformed to that. You can't just say, whatever comes through my mind is whatever. No, you have to take control. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Did you catch that? If you really want to change, it's got to start here. And so many times what people try to do, they try to modify behaviors. I will not do this anymore. And their mind is still way out there, and they're trying to get their body to cooperate. Well, it's never going to happen if your mind is still far away from God. You got to start in your mind. That's why Jesus said you got to clean the inside of the cup first, right? Because if all you're doing is perfecting external stuff and your mind is still a mess, all you're doing is fooling yourself. And so he says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In other words, when our mind gets healthy, we can discern what God wants us to do. Does anybody want to live that kind of life? And what Satan wants to do, he wants to fill your mind with so many monsters that you can't discern what God wants. That you are confused. And we talked about last week, God is not the author of confusion. If you're confused, that did not come from God. God comes to give us clarity and purpose. All right, so I want to give you five things today of how we can renew our mind. And the first thing is this. Put every thought through the Philippians 4:8 filter. Put every thought through the Philippians 4:8 filter. Philippians 4:8 says this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things. So Paul makes it pretty clear the criteria for what we should think about. All right, so let's take a little quiz here. True or false? Thinking about somebody who you're not married to in a lustful way, is that pure? True or false? False. So it fails the Philippians 4:8 test. And so when you think about it, it's really simple. Don't think about that. Let's think about this. Thinking about getting revenge on somebody who hurt me, is that praiseworthy? Is that excellent? Is that something that glorifies God? Is that commendable, true or false? False. So that fails the Philippians 4:8 test. And if everything that comes through your mind, if you can just stop it and say, okay, I'm going to run it through this filter of God's word, of what he tells me to think about, and if it doesn't meet the standard, I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm not going to think about it. And so you need to ask yourself, am I full of true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and praiseworthy thoughts? And if you're not, you need to change some things. You need to keep your mind off things that you don't want by keeping it on the things that you do want. I'm going to say that again. You keep your mind off the things that you don't want by keeping it on the things that you do want. Think of it this way. You know, you go to Walmart or the mall or whatever, and there's all these parking spaces, and there's only so many spaces. Well, think of your mind as that parking lot, and think of those spaces. We're going to fill every one of those spaces with good thoughts. And so when that mind monster comes in and tries to take a spot, there's no vacancy. There's no room for that negative thought to come in. Why? Because you filled your mind with good things. And some of you here today, you don't believe that that's possible. I want to tell you, that's possible. That you can fill your mind with so much positivity and so much of God's purity that you don't have room for anything else. And this is very, very important. You can't change your thoughts by focusing on what you're supposed to not be thinking about. I'm going to say it again. You can't change your thoughts by focusing on what you shouldn't be thinking about. In other words, the more conscious we have of, oh, I can't think of that, I can't think of that. No lustful thoughts, no lustful thoughts. Well, the more you tell yourself that, you know what's going to happen? The more you're going to focus on the lustful thoughts. So you have to focus on good things. You have to focus on purity. There's a funny story I heard of a professor, and he was about the time to give grades, and a young woman came into his class as a college professor, and she was dressed very seductively. And she came into the class, and she walked up to his desk, and she kind of stood in a seductive way, and she said, "Professor, what do I have to do to get a good grade?" And he immediately kicked her out of the class. And he drove home as fast as he could, and he told his wife, "Go put on the hottest thing you have, because I have a negative thought, and I need to fill it with something positive right now." Oh, come on, we're being real here today, come on. And that's what you have to do. There is a war going on right here, and you can't mess around. You cannot give the devil any space. You have to be very proactive about what you think about. And so remember from our teaching last week, we have to focus on the positive. We have to affirm ourselves in Jesus. We have to imagine God doing something to change our situation. We have to trust God in our thoughts, and we have to hope for the best. And there's only so much space that you can fill your mind, but when you fill your mind with those things, those mind monsters aren't going to have room. All right, the second thing that we do to renew our minds is that we fill our minds with God's word. We fill our mind with God's thoughts. And how you get that is through reading God's word, memorizing God's word. And I want to challenge you. You don't have to be some scholar to memorize God's word. You can memorize one verse a month and focus on that verse. And pretty soon, you know, over a year, that's 12 verses. And before you know it, you have a repertoire and you have a foundation of verses in your life that you can call to mind whenever you need them. The word of God is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. There's no mind monster that can stand up to the perfect word of God. Does anybody know that to be true? Somebody say amen today. So you have to keep your mind full of God thoughts. And I'm going to say this, you need to worship in your mind. Matter of fact, Paul says in Romans, this is an act of spiritual worship, talking about renewing our minds. And worship starts with knowing who God is. And I was just going to give you some names of God today. And so whenever that mind monster comes in, you come back with a name for who God is. All right? So the first name you need to know is that he's called Jehovah Jireh. And this means the Lord is my provider. So whenever the negative thoughts come in to try to tell you that this is it, you're going to go broke, you're going to go hungry, you're going to go homeless, you tell them, no, my God is Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. The word of God says, never have I seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. He's more than enough. He's overflowing. He's too much. I want to tell you that if you're facing lack today, you need to stand up and you say, Jehovah Jireh is my provider. He's never failed me. He's never let me down, and he's not about to right now. Can somebody praise God? Somebody stand on your feet and thank him that he's your provider. Has anybody in here ever seen the faithfulness of God in your life? How many's blessed here today, as we sung about earlier? How many can stand up and say, I'm blessed, my family's blessed, my church is blessed? Somebody thank him for it right now. He's our provider. There's something powerful about who God is, and his name's the next name you need to know is Jehovah Sitkanu. And this is, the Lord is my righteousness. And this is powerful because Satan's going to try to come against you with guilt. Things about 10 years ago. Things about last week. Things about, you know, you wish you could have done different. Things that, you know, if you would have made this decision differently, your life wouldn't be where it's at now. And some of that is true, but it still fails to meet the Philippians 4:8 test because it's not praiseworthy. Because at the end of the day, it's not about what you do anyway. I'm going to say that again. At the end of the day, it's not about what you do anyway. If this is about what we do, it's going to be a mess real quick. But it's about what he's done and what he's doing through us. That's why we say he's my righteousness. And if when Satan comes against you with guilty thoughts, you don't have to plead innocent and you don't have to plead guilty. You just plead the blood through the name of Jesus and say, he's my righteousness. He died on my behalf. I know without a shadow of a doubt that that blood was faultless. It was innocent, and I accept his testimony. I accept his record on my behalf. And so, Satan, you get behind me. And the next time he tries to remind you of your past, you just remind him of his future. Because he has no future. But we have a great future. Why? Because Jehovah Sitkanu is my righteousness. He is my holiness. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord's my healer. The negative thoughts come in. Oh, this is going to kill you. This is the end. You tell him, no, Jehovah Rapha's my healer. He bled for my healing. The stripes on his back and everything that he went through was for my healing. Does anybody believe that God still heals? And even if this thing does kill me, he's still my healer. Because just as he raised on the third day, he's going to raise me up in a perfectly glorified body where there's no more sickness and there's no more pain. So Satan, even if this does take me out, I'm going to reject this mind monster because he's still Jehovah Rapha, my healer. Does anybody know he's your healer today? Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner, my victory. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. And that's what separates us from everybody else on this planet, is that we walk through the storm just like everyone else, but we have peace in the middle of the storm. God is my peace. Again, if it's all depending on me and what I do and how I get through this situation, my life's going to be chaos and I'm going to be depressed. But if I know that Jesus is with me, he's walking with me, he is my peace, I can make it. I'm going to make it through this storm. No matter what comes my way, he is my peace. So when we face the mind monsters, we remind the mind monster of the God we serve. Third way that we renew our mind is that we ask God for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. We need wise thoughts here. And I'm going to say something. I'm not trying to be derogatory, but you ever know people that they're saved, but they don't have a lick of common sense? And forgive me, they just do stupid things. And here's the thing. Sometimes something can be morally right, but still the wrong decision. And sometimes we have to move away from, is this right and wrong, to, is this wise or unwise? And we need to get wise thoughts. Things about, you know, how we manage our finances, how we manage our relationships. Again, may not be sin. It's just not wise. And here's what happens. The devil can come at us with unwise thoughts, or we just let unwise thoughts into our life. And our life becomes chaotic because we haven't followed wisdom. We buy stuff we don't need. We try to impress people that don't even like us. Those people you're trying to impress, they don't even like you. And if they do like you because of what you have, you don't need to like them. Oh, come on, this is wisdom right now. I'm dropping some stuff. So fill your mind with wise sayings. And I'm going to say this. Someone doesn't necessarily have to be a Christian or a good Christian to be wise. There are a lot of worldly people. I'm not going to judge them, but they might not make it. But they know a lot of good common wisdom, and there's nothing wrong in gleaning from those people. They can save you a lot of trouble. And so think of it this way. Let's say that you have all of your furniture in your living room connected to a string, and you move one thing. Let's say you move the grand piano. You have to ask yourself, is it worth moving the grand piano if it's going to make the couch, you know, sit in the middle of the living room? Because everything's connected. And so wisdom will make you think about everyday common decisions in your life and make you think, okay, is this really worth it? Do I really need to be doing this? Does anybody remember, I think it was DirecTV had a commercial a couple years ago, and it would start with like, this is Bob. Bob is on hold with his cable company. When Bob's on hold with his cable company, he gets very frustrated and he wants to vent. When he wants to vent, he goes and plays racquetball. And it shows while Bob's playing racquetball, the ball like hits him in the eye and gives him a, you know, takes out his eye or whatever. And it says, when you get frustrated and you play racquetball, you get injured. When you get injured, when you have an eye injury, you get an eye patch. When you get an eye patch, people think you're tough. And it shows these tough guys following him around. And when people think you're tough, they want to fight you. When they fight you, you end up in a ditch. Then the commercial ends, don't end up in a ditch. And that's humorous, but there's a little bit of truth to it. And that one bad decision can beget another bad decision. One small thing that doesn't look like that big of a deal, maybe it's you buy something you don't really need, and it makes your budget a little bit, your finances a little bit tighter, which causes a fight with your husband or your wife, which causes the kids to, you know, not be at peace and makes them act up. And then you see one thing happens, and before you know it, maybe it ends up at the neighbors. The neighbors are now mad. And it all started with maybe buying something that you didn't need. And so wisdom looks at the whole big picture and says, you know what? It's not worth it. And so what we want to have to bring it home is that we want to have wise thoughts. We want to have thoughts that it goes beyond, is this morally good or evil, to, is this wise or unwise? The fourth way that we renew our mind is through creating thought habits. Creating thought habits. Our brains are formed by habits. Does anybody get up in the morning and you do the same thing every morning and it's like you're a robot? It's just like you put on your clothes the same way, you brush your teeth for the same amount of time, you know, you fix your coffee, and it's just like your brain isn't even cognizant of what you're doing. Why? Because you've done it so often that it's a habit. And our brains are formed by habits, and brain cells record each step of the countless decisions that we make every day. For us, it might be stopping by the nearest fast food restaurant and getting a Dr. Pepper and a Coke. Somebody say amen. I think Danielle and I's brains, that just, it's not even a decision. We drive by that place, we're going to get a Dr. Pepper and a Coke. Oh, you guys aren't real. You guys don't have those types of programs, I see. Well, that happens through repetition. And here's what happens. A lot of us, we end up in bad places in life because we form bad habits in our mind. That we've let mind monsters control our habits, and we've become programmed to where we're not even cognizant of some of the choices that we make. And so we have to show our mind what to do. And when we show our mind what to do, it will automatically form a habit. Researchers say that most habits can be formed between 2 and 3 weeks. In other words, if you do the same thing for 2 to 3 weeks, a habit can be formed. And I believe some of us, we need to leave today. We need to start some new habits. You need to, the first thing you do is you get to the Word of God in the morning. You read something positive. You feed yourself spiritually. Those are good habits to have in your life. You know, I saw an interview with a man who was a career criminal. And he had a paper trail. His record was just like a paper trail. And they asked him, they said, how did you change? And he said this. He said, I changed when I forced myself to do things to become a better person. He said, I forced myself to open doors for people, even though I didn't want to do it. He said, I forced myself to help elderly people move things and just common, ordinary acts of kindness. I forced myself to do it. And he said, over time, it became a habit. Over time, that became the person, I became the person that I wanted to be. Why? Through habit. That it became second nature for me to help people. It became second nature for me to love people and to take care of people. And that's what you have to do. You have to make a habit. For some of us, our mind monster is selfishness. All we think about is us. All we think about is our problems. We don't have time to think about helping anyone else because we're wrapped up in our own little world and we can't get out of our own little box. But when you step out of that box and when you start asking people if they need help, what you can do to help people, it will form a habit in your life to where that will become like a second nature. That will become just part of what you do. And Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, he was confronting the Pharisees and they were filled with negative lies about everything. And Jesus said this. He said, you have heard it said this way, but I tell you this. And some of you here today, you've heard it said this way your whole life, but you need someone to come into your life and tell you the truth of what God really is like, of what God really wants to do in your life. For years, you've thought that your family does it this way because over years, there's just layers of lies, layers of bad habits. But I want to tell you today, Jesus can set you free from bad habits. Jesus can set you free from addictions. Jesus can set you free from the mind monsters that's plagued your family for years. And some of you need to step up today and say, I'm going to be the person that breaks the habit. I'm going to be the person that breaks the chains and breaks the bad behaviors that have taken place for years. And it all starts with forming good thought habits. There's this quote that's been quoted for a long time. It's been attributed to a number of people, but it's good nonetheless, whoever said it. And it says this, keep your thoughts positive because your thoughts become your words. Keep your words positive because your words become your behavior. Keep your behavior positive because your behavior becomes your habits. Keep your habits positive because your habits become your values. Keep your values positive because your values become your destiny. Whatever becomes your habit will become your destiny. And so here's what you need to ask yourself. You need to ask yourself, what kind of person do I want to be? We talked about this last week. You need to pray that God will show you the kind of person he wants you to be. And then you need to vision that. You need to envision that in your mind. Then you need to ask yourself this: what kind of habits do I need to form to become that person? And for some of us, that means we need to pray more. For some of us, we need to get in the habit of knowing God's word and let that word make us into the person we need. Some of us need to do more. We need to help other people more and step out of what we just talked about, of our own little comfort zone. And so we need to picture that person we want to be. And you know, if you want to be a world-class athlete, you're not going to get there by sitting on your couch and eating potato chips every day. That's not a good habit. No, you get in the habit of training, of subduing yourself to become that person. And it's the same in the spiritual. We have to train ourselves. We have to renew our mind to become that person. We have to be intentional. And so we have to make ourselves do certain things, even if we don't want to do them. Because if we keep doing them, sooner or later, it's going to become a habit. And there is a such thing as good habits. So our lives are a culmination of small choices. And those small choices lead to either good or bad habits. And your life can become a mess by a small choice. Nobody has to raise their hand today, but I think there's a lot of us today, we could say, I could have saved myself a lot of trouble with just one small choice. If I would have said no to that drink, if I would have said no to that drug just once, my life would be completely different. And so you have to get in the habit. We have to monitor our thoughts every day, and we have to be proactive about choosing good thought habits, catching the negative thoughts, and make it a habit to filter them through Philippians 4:8. Everything that comes through our mind, is this what God wants me to think about? Here in a few minutes, we're going to baptize somebody. And I talked to this person, and she said, I'm just ready to make a change. It's time for a change. I have to do something different. And when she said that, a quote came to my mind. I'm sure we've all heard it. But the definition of insanity is what? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting the same results. Somebody needs today to make a decision. I'm going to do some things differently. I'm going to think differently. When the negative mind monsters come in, I'm going to replace those negative thoughts with positive thoughts. I'm going to think about God and his faithfulness. I'm going to think about God and his purity. I'm going to think about God and his word. Matthew 9:16-17 says this: no one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. This is Jesus speaking. For the patch pulls away from the garment and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins will break and the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. What Jesus is saying is this, that, you know, back in his day, they would put wine into wineskins, and the wine would stay in that wineskin, and the older the wine became, the more brittle the wineskin would be. And so when you would put new wine into an old wineskin, that new wine, the old wineskin wouldn't be able to contain it because it became brittle and hard, and it would, you know, holes would form and it would leak everywhere. And so he says that you have to have new wine and a new wineskin. And here's the problem: a lot of us have old wineskins of thoughts. That God's wanting, we talked about, I think it was in week one, God's wanting to do new things. We can't perceive it. Why? Because we have an old wineskin. We've been told to ourselves that this is the way it always has to be, and has to be this way, and just a drumbeat of negativity. And God, he's not going to pour new wine into that old wineskin. Why? Because it's not going to contain. And so we have to open ourselves up and say, God, okay, change my mindset. Help me to believe that you want to do something new in my life. Help me to form some new habits. Help me, God, to be rejuvenated with passion for habits of your word and for who you are. And when we do that, when we make that commitment, God can put new wineskin and new wine in our life and can do incredible things in our life. Does anybody want God to give you some new wine? Does anybody want to have a new wineskin in your heart and your mind that can contain what God wants to do? The fifth thing that you need to do to renew your mind is you need to train your mind to see God at work. Train your mind to see God at work. Remember, he says, do not be conformed to this world. In other words, don't be conformed to what you see right now. And that's the battle for all of us, isn't it? You look around and you see all the negativity. You see all the bad news. You see all the things maybe that's wrong in your life. And it's easy to be conformed to that. But here's what the Word of God is telling us, is that we have to see what God is doing. And we have to see the positive in every negative situation. And I want to tell you that there's something positive no matter what you're going through today. If you look long enough, there's something positive in every situation. Bishop alluded to this incident earlier, and we didn't coordinate today, so it kind of confirmed to me that God wanted me to tell the story. But most of you know that Danielle and I, we were coming back from a cruise earlier this year, and we were in the Fort Lauderdale airport when there was a shooting, and it was just really scary, people running everywhere, and we got separated. I ended up on the tarmac and then eventually in a park, and then she was in the front of the airport for several hours, and nobody really knew what was going on, and we were never in any real danger, but we didn't know that, and it's the same thing. And it was just very, very traumatic. And for a few weeks, off and on, we really struggled with it. And just as a side note, I have a whole new level of respect for our servicemen and women who encounter those situations every day firsthand. As a matter of fact, I don't think we honor them enough for Memorial Day. I wonder if we could just thank them, thank God for them, and ask that God would protect them right now. Let them know how much we appreciate them. But when you experience something like that, it messes with you. How many knows that when you go through something traumatic, mind monsters come with it? And, you know, we wake up in the middle of the night and just panicked because, I don't know, it's like you're aware that the world isn't as safe as what you think it is. And I was thinking about that. I was preparing for this message. And I felt like the Lord saying, but look at the positive. Look at the positive. And so I kind of wrote down a few positive things that now that I look back, that shows that God was with me. The first positive thing that happened was when I walked to this park, I had no idea what to do, where to go. My phone was dead because like a knucklehead, I didn't charge it the night before. Wisdom. It's a good note of wisdom. Charge your phone before you go to the airport. And so I walked to this park and I just asked a random stranger to borrow his phone. And little did I know, it was the assistant city manager, one of the most politically connected, powerful people in the city of Fort Lauderdale. Let me borrow his phone. And he said, hey, get in my car. We'll figure this thing out. I can't help believe that God led me to him. I can't help but believe that. The next thing that happened positive, that Danielle was on the phone to her cousin when the chaos broke out. The family members are calling each other hysterical because she hung up and nobody knew what was going on. And her mom prayed, said, Lord, please put Danielle on TV just to know, let me know that she's okay. 2 minutes later, Fox News put her on TV. God put people around the both of us. God put a man around her who helped her through that process, and they helped one another. They encouraged one another. God put him there. The connection I made with the assistant city manager, he called and said, hey, let me get you a hotel room. Put me in one of the nicest hotels. And I know that, you know, people lost their life this day, and so I don't want to diminish that. But at the same time, I'm going to thank God he gave me a nice hotel room for free. There were hardly any hotel rooms because people were flooding to hotels. I got a nice one for free. That's a positive thing. I praise God for that. Come on, somebody. To this day, we still don't know how Danielle was able to corral all of our luggage and take it out by herself. Like, I think we've tried to recreate the situation in our living room, and we still don't know how she did it, but God gave her supernatural strength to get all of our luggage out of that airport. Somehow God gave me the grace and the presence of mind to get online and rent a rental car for the next day. The next day we showed up, the place was packed, people were angry because the car's running out. I walked up to the little kiosk, popped in my driver's license, They gave me some keys. Hey, y'all, see you later. We're out of here. Now, you can laugh about that, but I thank God for that. What am I trying to tell you? That if you look in every situation, there's something positive. And you dwell on that positive, and you thank God. Thank you, Lord, that you put that people in my life. Lord, even though I have cancer, I believe that you've put this doctor in my life for a reason, and I believe that he's going to help me. I believe that you've put the right medical professionals around me that are going to help me. God, I believe you've given me the right church family. Even though I'm going through this storm, there's a lot of people going through the storm by myself, but I have a church family that loves me and that's praying for me, and they're going to help me get through this. Does anybody believe that today? There were a lot of people in that airport when all that was going on. They were cussing and screaming. And I kid you not, I stopped in the airport and I said, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen today, but I thank God that I know you. Thank you that I know you, that when I'm going through this mess, I might get shot. But if I get shot, I'm going to heaven, because I know without a shadow of a doubt, your hand's on me. You love me and I know you. Is anybody thankful that if you can't be positive about anything else, you can be positive about Jesus? Romans 8:28, another verse you need to know. And we know, everybody, let's start over and everybody say it together. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called to his according. You finished it all right. How many believes that message today? How many believes that scripture? We stand on our feet today. And we thank God, no matter what I'm going through, it's all going to work together in my favor. Why? Because I'm called according to his purpose. Does anybody believe you're called today? Does anybody believe that God has his hand on your life? And you're not here by accident. And nothing that has happened in your life is incidental or accidental. God is orchestrating everything for my good. In my favor. And we just need to praise him for that right now. Can we do that right now? Can we just lift up our hands, clap our hands, shout unto God, Lord, I thank you, God. Lord, that you're going to turn around in my favor. Thank you, Jesus. Let's close our eyes right now. And I just feel led to pray right now for anybody going through the mind monster of negativity, that you get a hold of this right here today. And you believe that scripture. All things are working together for my good. Why? Because I'm called to his eternal purpose. In Jesus' name, let's pray. I wonder if it's appropriate if you grab the person you're next to you, grab their hand as we pray this together. And let's just let our faith go a little bit higher right now. Can we do that? Father, in the name of Jesus, I plead your blood over my mind and over every person's mind that is here today. Lord, we come against doubt. We come against negativity. Lord, we come against, Lord, anything that we see with our eyes that would try to make us question you, that would try to make us get discouraged. We speak life today. We speak hope, Lord, because we know, God, it doesn't depend on us. It depends on you, God, and you are faithful. Lord, you've never let us down. Lord, I pray against depression, and I pray against discouragement. Lord, and I speak life right now in Jesus' name. We are a blessed people, Lord, with a future and with a destiny. And so we say yes today, Lord. We take, God, those new wineskins that you want to give us, God. Lord, I pray, give us a vision, God, Lord, of greater things. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Let's clap our hands to God right now.